Welcome back to the program, hour number two of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you from Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas, 2015 Super Contest winner. James Salinas is hosting from Denver, Colorado. And James, blowout city in a few of these games. You think about the Colts and the Vikings. I didn't see this one coming, but the Colts dominated that game. The Vikings looked terrible, certainly when you look at that. But the under came in as well, under the total of 49. Your thoughts on that game and certainly the outlook of the Colts and the Vikings?
Well, so I was totally wrong on this game. This game looked to me, here's something that I do as a sports bettor that I've talked about. I'm not a fan of any teams. I'm a fan of cash and tickets.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I don't have biases towards certain players, towards teams, coaches. And I let my bias with Philip Rivers cloud my judgment in handicapping this game yesterday. I watched Philip Rivers in that first game against the Jaguars, and I saw clearly that he doesn't have the arm strength. Now, we talked about that a lot last year. There's a lot of speculation. He's going to retire. He didn't have the arm strength. He's now an Indy. So that arm strength or lack thereof followed him to Indianapolis. But I let that cloud my judgment, just focusing on Rivers, saying he doesn't have the arm strength. He's not going to be able to stretch the field. Mike Zimmer will have a game plan for that to take some of those other throws away that he's really a lot of flats, a lot of outs. And they had also a few injuries there with Doyle and a few others at the tight end. You know, Marlon Mack was gone. Mm-hmm. But what I failed to do because of my bias was that I failed to really dig into the Vikings. I just spent more time focusing on Rivers and some of those injuries with the Colts than really looking at the dysfunction that is Kirk Cousins right now. He was awful yesterday. He's forcing throws down the field. It's clear that he misses Stephon Diggs as to open the field up for them. Thielen's a great receiver. I love his ability to run routes, very fundamentally sound. But it's not the same as what it's been, especially with Diggs to be able to take the top off of the defense. So that's on me. I missed that game, but I know why I missed that game. So now it's up to me as a sports bettor to learn that lesson that when I get into these games, I need to put those biases aside. I really need to get acclimated and focus on both sides, both teams, both coaches, all the different matchups, because if I go in with an inherent bias there, sometimes that can be to your detriment, and I suffered that with a loss by taking the Vikings yesterday.
Yeah, you know, James, that's always tricky, too. I mean, I think the casual bettor certainly might bet alongside their bias and their fandom of a particular team when you think about that. You also look at the Colts and that performance that they had against Jacksonville as they blew that game, certainly one that they could have had. But from a bias standpoint, too, I'm looking at the Colts. They should have had more points. I mean, we call this blowouts, but they really should have blew out the Minnesota Vikings. T.Y. Hilton drops a touchdown pass. They settled for field goals after turnovers. So still a work in progress with Philip Rivers and Frank Reich, the head coach. I mean, I know they're happy about their partnership and happy about the familiarity with everything, but still some things to iron out offensively. Defensively, I see some holes still there, too. It's early on the season, though. So I guess my question is, how do you not form a bias? I mean, even for me, I know that Coach Kubiak is now calling plays for the Minnesota Vikings, and I thought that would help or be beneficial for Kirk Cousins, but it hasn't been. I mean, they are in total disarray offensively out there in Minnesota.
Well, I think it starts at the offensive line. Their offensive line's a disaster. It was one of the issues that I had with them looking forward, breaking them down from week one. You know, I went against them, and I took the Packers last week in week one against them. Nothing's changed. I mean, they still look just as bad. Their offensive line was the biggest issue going into last season. They didn't do anything to really address that. It's young. They did draft a few players, but it's not cohesive. I don't know. Maybe Zimmer's lost his team. They lost some key defensive players, some pass rushers. Some of their secondary is gone now. I'm not sure. I mean, here's the thing I think with Zimmer. Zimmer is an old school coach, and he's very autocratic in his leadership abilities. It's just, this is the way I do it, and we're going to do it, or you're not going to be here.
Right.
But, you know, this is a new generation of players coming in. This is a young, this gener- these Y and Z's young players coming in that, you know, that sometimes it's not the best way to be able to speak and motivate and or reach your players because they are young. And there are some young players there are young players scattered all over the league. I mean, it's the league keeps getting younger. We see these injuries. Yeah, you got to have young players step in and fill them. But I think those are some of the things that need to be looked at as well, to where I gave the benefit of the doubt to Zimmer. But now reflecting back on it, maybe some of this autocratic type of leadership style doesn't work for today's athlete.
Yeah, and maybe some under the surface pressure too being applied from the management or ownership situation in Minnesota. You're all in with Kirk Cousins, so you really can't do anything about that situation. But Zim up against it defensively as he brought in Gary Kubiak now to call plays. Moving on to the Rams and the Eagles. This opened up Philly -3.5. Close -1.5. I couldn't figure this line out. I really couldn't. I couldn't figure out why the sharps were on the Eagles early on that way. And certainly some people I talked to were loving the Eagles. And then the late money certainly coming in on the Rams there.
Well, and I fell into this trap too. And again, there's some biases. I exercise my bias. I took Philadelphia too. It was one of my contest plays as well. I went 3-2, the two losses, the Vikings, as well as the Eagles. And I have a bias against Jared Goff, especially on the road. And I let that influence my pick here. I didn't like the Eagles coming into this season. I thought they definitely had some issues at the offensive line, not only injury-wise, but they're getting older. Yeah, those tackles are injured with Peters and Johnson coming back. They are injured and they're older. So Carson Wentz likes to be the hero ball, hang on to the football too long. So I didn't like what I saw from the Eagles to finish the season last year. And I think that carried over this year. But I allowed my bias again to influence my decision in this game because of Jared Goff. And he had a terrific game. It wasn't a pedestrian game. The Rivers game yesterday, it was really a pedestrian performance from him. He wasn't making big plays because he doesn't have that arm strength. But with Goff, McVay's doing a great job of really playing to his strengths, getting him outside the pocket. Higbee's really stepping up into being his security blanket for him. That's his whoopee right there, and McVay knows it. So he's really game planning around that. And I think the Eagles are just... linebacker is an issue for them. Their defensive front, their front four is pretty stout, but a linebacker has been an issue for them. Their secondary has been an issue for a long time. And then you lost the leadership of Malcolm Jenkins. He's no longer there either. So that's my fault. That was my learning lesson to go forward. You know, right now in the contest, I'm not in the super contest this year, just for full disclosure. I have one entry in the Circa Millions, and then I have three entries in the Survivor Pool. So all three entries in the Survivor Pool are still alive. My Circa Million, I'm sitting at 7-3, which is where I want to be. I want to be at 70%. It's going to take about 70% to win this contest. So through 2 weeks, collectively, I'm sitting at 7-3. I'm fine where I'm at, and it's okay to lose some of these games. I'd rather lose games like this, where I know, what did I do wrong? What did I miss? That's on me. I knew full well that those biases existed, and I chose not to do that. I'll create a narrative, and we'll do that as sports bettors. We'll create this narrative that fits the way that I want this game to go sometimes, and we'll ignore some of those other stories that are out there that go against that. So I fell prey to that. That's my fault. It's early in the season as far as the contests are concerned. I'm still sitting in good shape with it, but it's my job now to analyze that, learn that lesson, and move forward with it. And so I will not underestimate Jared Goff on the road. Maybe there are no fans in the stands in Philly was part of it, but McVay's done a spectacular job of building the offense to his strengths so far these first two games of the season.
Yeah, you think about it, for what the turnover has been with that roster, and you wonder how they were going to recover from the Super Bowl and then the playoffs or not making the playoffs. Okay, your star players are getting traded away and that nonsense. But McVay's done a great job. He has. I mean, Jared Goff, I guess you can start to believe in him. But I guess your main point is the bias, the fact that you're owning it. The National Football League is a get-better league, and so is sports wagering. It's a get-better proposition each and every week. So learning lessons from James Salinas. Moving along to the Ravens and the Texans, we had John McClain from the Houston Chronicle on the show last week, and he did not hold back, did not pull any punches in terms of the Houston Texans. I just think this is an organization that's void of leadership. Mr. McNair passes away. They're trying to figure out that situation, the front office. I have no idea zero clue why O'Brien is a GM slash head coach when he hasn't accomplished anything other than winning a division. But yet he has that much power over everything from a football operational standpoint and not getting the job done, James.
Well, and that's, we talked about the head coach who used to be a coordinator, can't let that go. Vic Fangio, a number of coaches that came through the ranks as coordinators and longtime coordinators, right, that they just can't let that go. It's just who they are. It's in their system. It's in their blood. With O'Brien, he's wearing a lot of hats. I mean, that's, you're talking about a GM. That's a lot of, that's a lot of responsibility on top of having to coach a football team and get teams prepared week in and week out. So I'm not going to overreact early with the Texans. I mean, they had, that's a brutal schedule to open up with. You get to open up the lone game on Thursday night to open the NFL season against the defending champs in Kansas City, and then follow that up with the really the bulldozer that is the Baltimore Ravens. Tough schedule to get started with. So not surprising they're sitting at 0-2. Maybe some of that performance. I'm not going to be ready to jump. I'm not on the bandwagon for the Texans, but I'm not off of it either. I really like Deshaun Watson. He's always capable of making big plays. Different now that he doesn't have his whoopee when it comes to Hopkins there anymore, and he's looked spectacular so far. He's connected quickly with Kyler Murray down there in Arizona. But tough schedule early for them, and I just think Baltimore is really good. I loved what I saw out of Baltimore. Baltimore knows who they are.
Right.
They know what their identity is. They are going to be, they're a running football team, and they're going to come and they're all, it's an alpha game. It's an alpha team, and they're going to step on that field. And they say, we're going to dominate this game at the line of scrimmage, and we're going to push you around for 60 minutes until we take your will away. I love what I'm seeing out of the Ravens. Harbaugh's got those guys dialed in. They know exactly who they want to be. They had some issues in the locker room that stemmed over from Thomas at safety, Earl Thomas last year. And they voted, they let him go. You're not going to, it doesn't matter how great of a player you were, how much winning acumen you had as Super Bowl champ with the Seattle Seahawks. We're not going to allow that in our locker room. This is our culture. We're here as a team. I love where this team is going with Baltimore.
Yeah, you mentioned culture all the time, and you think about a team, a good team, a Super Bowl caliber team, getting rid of a great player, Earl Thomas, because of that culture that you mentioned. We don't need you. You know, we're good without you. So the confidence level there. What did you think about that line staying? I think it opened at -7. It stayed at -7 for the majority of the week and then closed at -7.5. The total came down to 49. Just completely disregarding, I believe, the Texans. I'm overlooking the Texans. I'm a little bit harsher on them. Yes, it's two games, but from what I see, I don't know how they get better. I throw any schedule at them. I don't know how the Texans get better at this point. I mean, they are not operating the way that they should be at this point.
Yeah, it's, well, and offensive line now, they do have all five starters from last year on the offensive line coming back, but there's a lot of moving pieces to that, right? David Johnson having to come over, and maybe Bill O'Brien needing to feel like he needs to validate that trade to try to feature Johnson more. I think we saw some of that on against Kansas City on the opening night. I don't know. I don't know where this team's head is. I think a lot of it, like you said, really falls on O'Brien's shoulders, and right now there's a lot of responsibility that he has to manage and carry. Too many hats to wear, and it's having an impact on the team's performance week in and week out.
Well, defensively as well, James, you think about, yeah, okay, it's Kansas City, first game of the year, but you had all year to get ready for that, or all training camp anyway. Defensively, not looking that strong, and then this last week against Baltimore, granted, Baltimore is a Super Bowl team, but you have a chance to play some decent defense. You would think defenses would be ahead of offenses at this point. But I bring into question not only O'Brien, but his coaching staff. Tim Kelly, first-time offensive coordinator, calling plays. Anthony Weaver, first-time defensive coordinator, calling defense for the Texans right now. And the Texans were a playoff team last year, but yet it seems like they're going backwards.
Well, and sometimes it's who you know sometimes when you're the boss, right? He's the boss, and maybe he's going to have some people that he feels comfortable with, that he knows that this is the way I want to do things, and these guys aren't going to, they're not going to be questioning me and saying no. They're going to do what I say to do because this is the way that I want to see it run. So maybe there's some of that. I don't know enough about it to get too in-depth with that, but just knowing it from a manager perspective in whatever level or whatever job you're doing, those things have an influence, and they can impact performance, and maybe that's a piece of it. it. I'm looking forward to, of all the games next week, that's the one I'm looking forward to. We talked about the Texans and who they had to play. They had to face both the Chiefs and the Ravens back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. Now those two teams, that's the showdown next Sunday with KC having to go to Baltimore to play.
Yeah, some great games coming up next week. Excited about that too. But just O'Brien, just to finish up and wrap that up, when you don't have the ownership that you used to, McNair was such a strong presence, not only in the National Football League, but for that organization. And now Brian O'Brien is annoyed at the power that he has. And you're right. Do you control your coaching staff? Do you manage them? Do you empower them? So much to work through and so much to iron out. And that's why I'm down on the Texans at this point. The schedule, yes, tough schedule. But everybody has a tough schedule if you think about the National Football League and what that represents, James.
Yeah. You got to play through it. Yeah. Everybody's got the schedule they play. It's the first place schedule they got to compete with. This is where they're at.
And yeah.
Good luck to them going forward. But it's week to week for me. If I like them in a certain spot, maybe I'll play them. But I'm not going to let a bias based on whether it's the coach, the GM / GM, or any other players out there influence where I'm going with that. That's my whole lesson right. That I learned from Sunday.
Absolutely.
From NFL action yesterday on Sunday.
Yep. And no more bias for James Salinas. That's what we've learned today on the show as well. Let's go into the NBA. When Betting Across America continues right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. To the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard out with you from Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas with you from Denver, Colorado. James, place to be, Denver, Colorado, the Nuggets. Boy, I thought they were going to be able to pull that one out. I was at a place yesterday, a restaurant, actually, and around the corner from the restaurant, evident that people were watching the Lakers and the Nuggets, and the cheers that you could hear coming from this sports restaurant was incredible. So I'm sure it was at a fever pitch for you out there in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, my voice is a little hoarse today. I actually, I say this to you, Pritch, and we've said this before, where I'm not a fan of teams. I'm a fan of cash and tickets. Now,
yes.
I did have the Nuggets plus the points last night, so that came in. I got some more on them in game. But I wanted to be a fan last night. If there's one team here in Denver that I revert back to my childhood as a kiddo, it was the Denver Nuggets. I grew up right next to the Broncos Stadium at Big Mac. McNichols was right across the street from it back in the day, and we're talking early 80s. Going in and cheering for Alex English and Dan Issel and Kiki Vandeweghe and some of these other players. That was a lot of fun. So last night I was like, let me go out. I got my brother-in-law. We went out and went to a sports bar. I hadn't been out to a sports bar post-COVID here. So it was great to go. It was a great environment, and there were a lot of Laker fans there. So a lot of yelling back and forth. That's why the voice is a little hoarse today, but it was a lot of fun. But what a heartbreaker at the end. I think with the Lakers' intent, Their whole intention throughout this series was to bang on Jokic. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing that. They've been rotating big bodies and being really physical with him. Howard, Mr. Superman, coming in and pushing him around. But Jokic responded back. He had a good game last night. He competed. And it was good to see him, even though he did get pushed around. He doesn't have the physical stature of some of those other guys, especially with Howard. But he didn't back down. He had a big game. He had 30 points. He had 9 assists. So he competed. But ultimately, the heartbreaker was, I don't understand what they were doing with that baseline out of bounds play. Mm. That little blob, I mean, it was clear they were going to step out over it, and Plumlee didn't get there. And I'm wondering if maybe there was a miscommunication, if they thought they were going to slip that screen and Plumlee was going to take the screener. And I don't remember who the other Nugget was to go out and close out to the shooter. But ultimately, there it is. Davis gets an open look, granted from 20, 25 feet or whatever it was, and he knocked it down. Now it's a 3-0 lead. I'm not sure where the Nuggets' head is going to be going in there. I think they've been coming back from from these big deficits, 3-1. But mm-hmm. I think in this case, maybe they'll still win a game. I still think they're going to compete. They have that. If there's one team that's not going to lay down and never say die, it's going to be the Nuggets. But to come out of a 3-0 hole, especially against a team of the caliber of the Lakers, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, you know, it's you think about the Nuggets and Cinderella, and I'm surprised that there's a lot of Laker fans out there in Denver. But the Nuggets, great opportunity to get one of these games here. Glad that you cashed that ticket, though, as the Lakers close at -7.5. But, you know, in-game opportunity galore here with these two teams. You get the LeBron factor and then AD. So AD to me, like, I know LeBron is number one, but AD is a number one, too. He just happens to be a number two with the Lakers because of LeBron James. And I don't know how Denver fell asleep the way that they did there on inbounds pass. And it's Rondo, too, by the way. But yet, I don't know if it's revealing to their defense in critical moments of a game, in particular the last 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. But yet, was there fighting for their chances to get to the NBA Finals, though, throughout this game?
Well, and you talked about the in-game, Pritch. I think with mm-hmm. NBA, that's really the way that I go when I'm betting games. There's so many runs where you see a team and they're up by 15. That doesn't mean that game's over by any means. 5 minutes later, you can go on a 13-2 run and now you're right back in the game. So it's ebb and flow with the NBA. It's very fluid. So, and for me, that's really where I look at, is I look at getting in game, looking at maybe there's a foul, somebody's in foul trouble. Maybe that's going to influence either the total or the side there. But it's hard to bet games before they start. Now, knowing with this game or the NBA playoffs in general, it has been such an ebb and flow, especially with the Lakers and the Nuggets. We've seen the Nuggets throughout the playoffs where they look dead and they look beaten, mm-hmm. and they can still come back. So in game, you can get some good numbers. I got a couple really good numbers last night. I did have them on the money line late too, so I got a good number there. Obviously, that last three hurt, not only from a pocketbook perspective. I didn't have a big one on it, but it was a juicy number, but even from a fan's perspective. So that one I allowed myself last night to go out and indulge and have a good time and be part of the Nuggets scene here in Denver. And so actually that one hurt more, just being a fan from my days as a kiddo here in Denver with the Nuggets losing the way that they did.
Yeah, I was a fan too when I first got to Colorado. McNichols Arena, place to be. Alex English, got to see him play. I actually met him too, so that was awesome for me. But it's also awesome that you can do in-game betting as you're enjoying that basketball game. More betting across America will continue right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. James and I back to the NFL. That's next. How did your football betting go this weekend? As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting magazine or guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows. The College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies. Daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, host, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. Mike Pritchard with you, James Salinas from Denver, Colorado, with you as well on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. And James, as we get back into the National Football League, some surprising teams, some surprising developments. Let's start with Arizona. I think they have the air raid offense going, clicking on all cylinders now with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins to help out Kyler Murray. I've heard this today about Kyler Murray, which is incredible. He's Barry Sanders playing quarterback. So that's incredible to hear that. But people are going there with Kyler Murray in Arizona as they beat down Washington.
Yeah, with the scrambling ability of Fran Tarkington from back in the day, who would just twist and turn back there in the pocket to extend plays. He's exciting. Talk about a speedster. I don't care if he's playing in sand. He's going to outrace everybody out there. And his ability to cut on a dime when he's running, he had some spectacular runs. So he's feeling himself out. I think the offense is feeling him out. You know, it's a young coaching staff there, too. What I really like about Arizona is they've got some great leadership on that team, on both sides of the football. Patrick Peterson, they've got some veterans there on the defensive side. And then offensively, I mean, it doesn't get any better than Larry Fitzgerald. He's getting long in the tooth there. He's definitely not the featured receiver there anymore. But he brings such a presence and confidence about how to conduct yourself as a professional each and every day. I think if there's one player across this league that everybody respects, it's a player like Larry Fitzgerald. So I think having that kind of guy, not only on the field, but in the locker room, really sets the tone for not only Kyler Murray and some of the young talent that they have on that team, but also kind of the coaches too. They're new to the NFL, so really kind of follow his lead in a sense of preparation as far as an athlete is concerned. Larry Fitzgerald really leads the way for Arizona. I'm excited to see this team going forward. Yeah, they definitely have some holes, like all teams. All teams have some holes, and they also need to stay healthy like every other team, so not let that injury bug get to them. But it's an exciting team, and they're fun to watch. Kyler Murray's really fun to watch. I'm excited about where this team is going to go this season.
How about that, too? I mean, it's Arizona Cardinals at home. A heavy favorite, -7, stayed at -7, but certainly building confidence in terms that they could be certainly a team that holds some lines there when you're thinking about some of the matchups on the future on their schedule. But then also looking in that division, the NFC West here, I mean, Seattle is just awesome. We know that, but okay, Arizona, is Arizona going to take over for San Francisco because of all the injuries? And you think about the Rams too, just a tough division, a competitive division, but certainly Arizona can make it interesting.
Absolutely. Thinking about all these divisions, that might be the toughest one from top to bottom as far as competing. Now Arizona's been bringing up the rear of that division the last few years. Now I'm not saying they're a contender to go to the playoffs or win the Super Bowl, but they're getting better. And that's what you really want to see out of teams. Are they progressing or are they regressing? Young players, are they maturing? Are they learning? Are they learning? We talked about as a handicapper, learning from your mistakes. Are they learning from those mistakes? And are they adjusting both as a player and as a coaching staff? So good game plans going in. I think they're continuing to figure out who Kyler Murray really is. What's the best way to utilize his skill set? Not just having him sit in the pocket. He obviously has the ability to scramble and make plays, especially when it breaks down, but also some of the throws. I mean, I know that we were concerned for all teams really offensively. It was, what was it going to look like for them to execute because of the timing and the lack of preparation and being able to be together, OTAs being absent, those types of things. Doesn't seem like Kyler Murray's had a hard time connecting with Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins is off to a great start. Right. And he's a terrific receiver too. So they've built some chemistry in really short fashion.
Yeah, I think this Kingsbury thing too, because he's known Kyler Murray since he was a kid, basically, and they're comfortable as the play caller, quarterback of that situation. But I think the questions for me was defensively, could they help the causes in Arizona with their defense? And staying in that division, you think about what Russell Wilson is doing and what he did Sunday night against Cam Newton and the Patriots. Incredible performance. Seattle -3, closed at -5. But Russell Wilson, they're letting him loose. They're cutting him loose, and he's putting up numbers, playing the game at a very, very high level, and also raising the boats of the players around him. I mean, he's got some talent around him, but yet Russell Wilson has elevated himself a little bit more.
Yeah, it's about time they started to feature him. I know they've wanted to be a running team for quite a while and take some of the pressure off of Russell Wilson, but he's not a young quarterback anymore like he was in his days when they were going to the Super Bowl early. It's great to see him play. I think here's another player that really carries himself professionally on and off the field. Players can really kind of follow his lead when it comes to preparation. He's a really competitive player. So love to see him play, not only from the skill set, but just from that mindset too of really taking over the leadership role of this team the last few years and now being able to flourish and open up the offense, open up the playbook. I still have some questions about their offensive line. There's still some pieces that are suspect to me when it comes to the overall protection schemes that they run. But ultimately, I think what I was most excited about, I've been hyping this. Like, I love safety play. I love strong safety. I love free safety play. I love the physicality that they bring. And really, they're kind of quarterbacks in that secondary and sometimes for the whole team, depending on their talent level. And I love the matchup with Jamal Adams being brought over from the Jets. Whatever price they paid, I don't care. I don't run their front office. I don't care if it's bad for their long-term future. What do I care? I'm just trying to bet them right now. So right. Cool. Bring him here. Let's see if there's an edge to take this team any further. But pairing him with Quandre Diggs, and what a hitter he is. Now, this is one of my issues that I have. We talked about it earlier in the show, Pritch, where, you know, the rules are real. Obviously, they're really slanted towards the offense. Yeah, you want to – people turn – you know, people want to see scoring. They want to see points on the board.
Right.
You know, as a defensive back, you can't touch anybody anymore. You can't hit anybody anymore. I know Diggs put his head down into him. Some of those things at full speed, it's hard to just say, oh, I can't do it. So now you're telling these players, especially these physical players that really come and they want to set a tone for how they're going to play defense. And I think those two safeties are tremendous players. Yeah. I'm excited to see them going forward as a tandem. But, you know, if they're getting flagged, and in this case, he got tossed out of the game.
He did, James,
that had an impact. That was early in the game, and that had an impact. Cam Newton looked good.
Right.
His arm looks straight. He looks healthy. Good for him. He looks very good out there. But not having Diggs in there was an issue.
Yeah. The formidable defense, certainly. Legion of Boom back up there in Seattle. More football when we come back. That's coming up next. Another Monday night kickoff without getting a piece of the action at BetMGM Sports. New customers who place a $1 moneyline wager on either the Saints or the Raiders will win up to $100 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown, regardless of the wager's outcome. Just be sure to use bonus code VSIN100 when you place your bet. Then just kick back and watch kickoff and root for either team to score a touchdown. Don't download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown on Monday Night Football. Must be at least 21 years old, physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you from Las Vegas, James Salinas with you from Denver, Colorado, and on the line with us right now, Vic Tafer, Raiders reporter for The Athletic, covers the Raiders, does an outstanding job. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vic Tafer. Vic, welcome to the show. How are you? Vic, we're going to effort Vic here in a second in terms of being on the show. James, we got the big matchup with the Las Vegas Raiders and certainly the New Orleans Saints. Big event here in Las Vegas right now.
No. Yeah, what are you going to do for it? I'm out there. If I was out there, I'd be excited to do it, whether I had money on the game or not. I mean, especially if you're a Las Vegas resident. I mean, how cool is this? Now, a couple years ago, you got the Golden Knights coming in, and now you get the National Football League there with the Oakland Raiders, especially a franchise like that. I mean, how exciting is that? I'd be so jazzed for it. I'd be ready to start pre-gaming and tailgating early, to speak.
Some have, certainly. No, this is incredible. I never thought in a million years, we were talking to Brent Musburger to start the show. A million years, I never thought that there would be an NFL franchise in my city, you know, because I knew the stance of the National Football League from a player's perspective. They threatened us with the FBI if we were caught in a sports book, certainly laying action down on an NFL game. But lo and behold, years later, I look up and there's an NFL franchise here in Vegas. And not only that, the NFL has partnered up with the sports gaming industry. So it's incredible right now. I can't wait for the game tonight. I can't wait for this moment for the city. And certainly it lends itself in terms of the popularity of sports betting right now.
So let's dig into this matchup a little bit then, Pritch, because I'm looking at, you know, I'm leaning towards the over, and that's probably the way that I'm going to go. I don't want to play the side, and it looks like a lot of money's actually going on the Raiders. So if I was going to play the side, it might be the Saints. It's a stay away from me. And as far as this, as far as the side goes, it's not a game that I'm gonna touch. But looking at a couple props there, I'm interested in Josh Jacobs, and we know Josh Jacobs is really good. Gruden wants to establish the ground game and have some balance on offense. He's got the offensive line to do it. Josh Jacobs has been we talked about him. He's such a not only as an athlete and a runner, but just his backstory and the energy and effort that he brings. I think people really flock to him because they know that he is going to set the standard for this is how we're going to perform on each and every play. But looking at his yard total, at first when I looked at the number, it was 68 yards as far as rushing goes. So I looked at that seems kind of low. I'm sure they're going to want to feature him. And then I was digging into the Saints. They haven't allowed a rusher over 100 yards in almost three seasons. I think it's been like 44 games. So it's I don't know where this – I don't know how they get the ground game going, especially with the Saints. They're very stout up front. And they're going to really key on taking that run game away. I don't know what you're feeling about the run game with Jacobs, and are the Raiders going to be able to establish any kind of ground game tonight against the Saints?
Well, it's interesting because I think when you look at the Raiders, James, they do have one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League, but I think that's with Trent Brown on that offensive line. You think about Gabe Jackson, you think about Hudson Incognito and Colton Miller. They're okay there. Denzel Good filled in at the right tackle spot, and the Raiders were still able to run the football against Carolina. But that's Carolina. That's not the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints, one of the most complete teams in the National Football League, had a chance to talk to Bobby Hebert earlier this morning. And he said that this was probably the most complete Saints team that he has seen in New Orleans in quite a while. And that's talking about and raving about their defense. And another tidbit to throw in on this mix, and you consider like axes to grind or culture. Dennis Allen, a former Raiders coach, is now the DC with New Orleans. So throw that into the mix too. And I was hoping that Trent Brown might be available. We don't know the availability. He's listed as doubtful with a calf injury. But the Raiders should be able to still rush the football with Josh Jacobs. I agree with you. He's one of the premier running backs in the National Football League right now.
Well, an axe to grind, maybe Jared Cook has a little axe to grind, too, at tight end for the Saints. Right. He didn't even get an offer back. I think obviously the Raiders move forward with Waller, and he really stepped his game up last year and had a good season.
Latavius one of the Murray other, is another running other, back, too.
Yeah. 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 Yep. Exactly. So a lot of inherent storylines with this. So I mean, it's going to be exciting. Another prop that I was looking at. I was looking at Alvin Kamara. So I know he splits a lot of carries in the backfield as far as rushing the football with Murray, but getting him established out of the backfield, I think it's clear that Breeze does not have the arm strength either to stretch the field and get the ball downfield over the top. So a lot quicker throws, a lot shorter throws, and Kamara is really a tough matchup for any team. He's obviously a very talented back, not only rushing the ball, but receiving the football. I'm looking at his total yards receiving tonight at 41.5. I'm looking at going over that. I think they're going to want to feature him, get him going, take some of the pressure off the running game, some of the pressure off Breeze, because I think they're pretty clear. They know they can't really stretch the field out there. I'm wondering, from your perspective, do you see how does that match up for the Raiders? Because I think they struggled with McCaffrey last week, too. I don't think he had as many receptions as he normally does. But what does that matchup look like for you, for the Raiders defense, especially like those safeties and those linebackers having a matchup with Kamara receiving the ball out of the backfield?
James, it's not a good one. Krakowski, the middle linebacker who sets the defense and calls the defense on the field, he's doubtful as well. They traded for McMillan, linebacker from Miami, but he's more of a run stopper. And therefore, Latavius Murray, I think McMillan sees the field there. But with Kamara, you would think Corey Littleton could match up there, but then now the Raiders would be exposed to Cook from the tight end position. And then when Taysom Hill's on the field, with Kamara, with Cook, what are you going to do from the linebacker position if you're the Raiders? You can believe in Jonathan Abram as a cover man, as a safety. They do have Jamarcus Joyner as well. They have some other corners that they feel good about, but really not matchup guys. Eric Harris, the safety, is not a cover safety either. So I think they're handcuffed. The Raiders are handcuffed when it comes to the second level of their defense. Really, Corey Littleton is just about the only healthy body that they can run with in terms of trying to neutralize Alvin Kamara.
Well, and so that's why I was leaning towards that, looking at that over 41.5 yards receiving. I mean, we know the speed of Kamara and his shiftiness and ability to break tackles and elude tacklers. He could get that in just one or two receptions with his ability to break away. You mentioned Jonathan Abram. I like that kid. Now, he got himself hurt last year, first game of the season. I think he only played a half before he laid a hat on one of the Broncos and took out his shoulder. He's come back now. But we talked about this with Seattle and Diggs and the physicality of where these safeties come from. Abram looks like a throwback kind of safety to me too, where he wants to set the tone and like you come across the middle. You as a secondary player, I'm gonna take your lights out if you do. But we know that the NFL frowns on that and throws flags, so that could impact the Raiders as well from a personal foul standpoint. Because it's something when you're that type of player, you only know how to play one way, and it's not something that you can easily dial back to say, okay, well, now I'll be more mindful of how I hit receivers and how I'm going to approach guys coming over the middle. I think Abram only knows one way to play, and that's full speed and a full hammer as far as the safety is concerned. Hopefully they don't throw flags on him, but it'd be something to watch out for too, that sustains drives for the Saints offensively tonight.
You'd be curious about the flags. I think we haven't seen a ton of flags, whether the officials are trying to get in football shape from their own perspective. But certainly Abram, he's fast. I thought he might be out of position, maybe more of a free safety, but he's so valuable around the box and in coverage too. So they can't use him at free safety. He's going to be involved and in the mix, essentially a rookie because of the injury that you highlighted from his career last year. But he's a heady guy, smart player, and a lot of communication. Watch for a lot of communication too from Abram. So you look at this line, it's all been all over the place. I think people were waiting for it to get as high as 6.5, maybe 7. Never got there. But right now in Vegas, we have it New Orleans -4. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm taking the over. We talked about the flags and all right. The rules being favoring the offense. Also not throwing a lot of flags, like you said. They're not calling a lot of holding penalties, offensive holding penalties. So that allows these quarterbacks to be able to sit in the pocket for longer, and that's going to extend drives, extend plays, and extend scoring. Right now, it's just, I'm typically an under player, but this year I just can't see myself taking unders in the league just based on these rule changes over the last few years and the fact that it's clear in these first 2 weeks they don't want to throw a plethora of flags on holding calls. That's going to sustain drives and lead to more points. In my opinion,
the total coming down to is down 48.5. You could have got a higher number earlier in the year, but that number is down 48.5, which is incredible. But I can't believe it's here, to be honest with you, James. Monday Night Football in Las Vegas. I mean, your thoughts from Denver, Colorado about that?
Oh, it's fine. I mean, it's. Yeah. Things have changed so much. I remember being a kid and the rivalry between the Raiders and the Broncos was real. You played in those too.
I did.
Those things are gone now. The rivalries just don't exist.
Yeah.
You know what that was like then.
Right.
But just having the Raiders there, I mean, how exciting for them. They're eventually when they'll get fans in the stands, they'll actually have some folks in there. Now, how they recreate the black hole, that will be interesting to see if they ever can recreate that once fans are allowed back in the stadium.
Yeah, great job on the show today, James. We'll look for you in Vegas in the future. But that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with more Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.